Hey friends, welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I'm your host, Becky Davidson, and I'm so glad that you are joining us for this week's episode. Now, before we get started, I want to make sure that you know about an event that we have coming up this weekend for couples raising children with special needs. It's our Together Marriage event, and it's going to take place this Friday, February the 26th. Now, at this event, you're going to hear from couples raising children with special needs as they share their stories and experiences that are going to help you as you navigate raising your own children with special needs and navigate being a married couple. They have such great insight and wisdom, and I know that you are going to be blessed by stories that they have to share. Now, no worries. If you can't join us on Friday night, it's okay. If you sign up, you will have access to the content for up to 2 weeks after the event on Friday the 26th. So you can watch it whenever it works best for you. So if you can't join us on Friday evening, don't worry about it. Go ahead and sign up and you'll have up to 2 weeks that you will be able to view the content at a time that works best for you. Now to learn more, just go to our website, risingaboveministries.org. Go to our events page and you can find all the information that you need, or go visit our free app where you can find all the details there as well. Now, on this week's podcast, I have my friends Dawn Fry and Lori Chapman back with me. And this week, we're going to talk about how to manage the chaos that comes along with the special needs life. You know, there are so many things that happen day in and day out. As we raise our children with special needs, we never know what each day is going to look like. And some days are easier than others. And some days we wonder how we're going to get up and do it all again the next day. And Dawn and Lori each have some great tips and insights to share with us as we share and navigate some of the things that we do to help manage the chaos in our life. Now, at the end of the podcast, be sure to listen all the way to the end because we want to hear from you as well. And we want you to share some of the tips and some of the tricks and things that you do to help manage the chaos in your life. So at the end, I'm going to tell you how you can share those with us. So here are my friends, Dawn Fry and Lori Chapman, as we talk about different ways that we in our world try to manage the chaos of the special needs life. Hey, Dawn and Lori, thank you both so much for joining me again for the Rising Above podcast. I'm so glad you're here and that I get to see you via Zoom today. I feel like I haven't seen you all in a while in person, so I'm glad to see you, even if it's via Zoom. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. So today we got a fun topic to talk about. You ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to be talking about, you know, we're all special needs moms. Here, you, the three of us. And, you know, I know this will be surprising to everyone, but, you know, sometimes our life can be a little chaotic, right? It gets a little crazy sometimes. Yeah. So today we're going to talk a little bit about managing the chaos of our,
we need some
dramatic music playing in the background on that one. You know, but I was thinking as I was looking at this topic of managing the chaos. First of all, we are like really late recording this podcast because of snow last week. We had like this big snowstorm that came in. And so we couldn't record our podcast when we had planned. And then even like today we're running late because Dawn got stuck and couldn't get back home in time. And so, you know, just life never sometimes goes as we think that it should go or that we want it to go. And I was thinking about this topic, I was looking at how unique each one of our family situations is. Our family life is each one so completely different. You know, I am a solo parent to my son who has profound special needs. It's just the two of us pretty much day to day, other than caregivers I have coming in and out. And, you know, so my life looks completely different in so many respects from you guys. So Lori, your life, my goodness, we've shared about our families, but you've got a lot of people to manage in your world. So where it's just John Alex and myself in our home, your house is a little bit more full, shall we say.
It's a little bit more of a zoo.
We can just go ahead and call it out. It's
call
a zoo.
Call it what it is.
Or more lovingly referred to as the Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone.
Yes. Yes. So, because there is, I have a husband, Steve. Yeah. And I'll say him first because, bless his heart, he's usually, unfortunately, at the bottom of the list at this current season of life and our how we operate.
Yeah.
I have two daughters with Down syndrome. They are 17 and 18, juniors and seniors. So there's the busyness of that. And then my 15-year-old daughter is homeschooled, actually, only because she is very independent and able, like she pretty much sets her schedule and takes care of it. I don't have to worry about it, or she wouldn't be at home. And then I have a 10-year-old son who is in school. And then I also have a 5-year-old grandson who is in school during the day, and a 2-year-old granddaughter who I keep for my oldest daughter, who is a single mom, working full time and trying to manage all the things that it is when you're a single mom.
Yeah.
So I am childcare / personal assistant is our joke
there
with my
go.
Oldest.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of things at play at any given yeah. moment.
You have a lot of chaos to manage, right?
There
you
know. Is a lot of chaos to manage.
Yeah.
You know, there really is. But that's okay. That's just, yeah. and it's just a little crazy. And then you throw in, I would think this, even just this past 6 to 9 months, 12 months of quarantine or crazy ice storms, you know, where
right.
you kind of get in our normal routine, and then schools are closed for a week. And
right.
my grandson goes to school in a different county. And so then you're managing, well, who am I having today? And then the 2-year-old's Mother's Day out is also closed. And then all of a sudden you have, and I'm sharing all this because that was my last week.
Right.
That was last week here
that
where we live.
Week. Right.
All of a sudden I had everybody home, you know, the 2 special needs, the homeschooler who still had school, a 10-year-old boy, a 5-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old girl. And we're all kind of just.
Yeah. And then something else happened in the midst of all that. Is
did
that
it? I don't
you
even
lost
know.
Power. You lost.
Oh, yes, we did. Thankfully, it was a shorter than a lot of people around us. But there was 12 hours in there that we were asleep, and we did have the grandkids because we were concerned about their power. So we had a house full, and it was cold and wild. And my 2 special needs daughters don't enjoy the chaos that younger children bring.
Right. Right.
So that just adds another level of dynamic to what's already going on. Right. But anyway, that sounds a little, I don't want that to sound
chaotic.
Complaining. That's just
your norm.
And it really kind of is our norm yeah. of how we roll with that and then figure out how to, my mom's saying has always been monitor and adjust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's a certain level of monitor and adjusting that already goes on even in a scheduled day with, Josie and Emily, my 2 daughters with Downs, because you just never know where we're going to be at.
Right.
In our mood and stuff, but then pulling back from just the everyday, then you throw in some out there dynamic and it's another big monitor and adjust.
Yep.
Just monitor and adjust.
Constantly.
So, constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now Dawn, your life looks different than Lori's, looks different than mine. You you are a professional, you work full time, you teach school, you're a professor, you are an attorney on the school board. And then, you know, you've got the twins who are really at different phases in life. Doing different things. And so share a little bit about what your day-to-day, what does your day-to-day look like with your crew?
Sure. So so I have a husband, Sean, and then we have boy-girl twins, and they are 18. And our daughter, Sydney, is off at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And this is her first year there. So this is her second semester there. So, and then we have Austin who has autism. And of course he is home. And I teach at Tennessee Tech 3 days a week, and then I'm, you know, a private practice attorney, so I do that. And then I'm on the school board, which, you know, depends on the season of the school board, how much time that takes. But, yeah, my life is not quite as chaotic. No, it's nowhere near as chaotic as Lori. So I feel like this should be the Lori show. Because,
no.
But I think, so luckily, Austin attends a program that's on Tennessee Tech's campus. So I'm able to take him, you know, to school through the 3 days that I teach. And then Sean takes him the other two. And then I always, you know, pick him up. Today we have a doctor's appointment. So I've made sure I made a copy of my conservatorship over here.
Yep. You know,
they already have it, but people do tend to forget things, and I don't have time for somebody to dig through a file.
Right.
So I make sure I take it with me. Cause it's COVID, you know, and he's 18 and I'm going to walk in and they may say, oh, I'm sorry, he's 18. And I could just,
there's my conservatorship. Yeah.
Well, I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Last week was not, it was more chaotic, not as chaotic as Lori. Bless your heart, Lori. But
we all look at you, Lori, and we go like, how does she do it? How does she do it?
Loop. But last week, because he was home, that's difficult because his routine is messed up. And then, you know, he makes me crazy and we make each other crazy. And then he has the expectation that I should entertain him. You know, where are we going to go today? What are we going to do today? But I still have the job. Now, I didn't have tech last week because they were closed too. So that was good. But I still have the job and I still have all the other things despite him being at home.
Right.
So that makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. But we survived, and thankfully they're back at school today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we each one have chaos. It just looks a little different. And, you know, my chaos last week was we did lose power. And I'm like, how in the world am I going to, you know, we didn't know. We had friends who lost power for like 4 or 5 days. And I was like, I can't have be here as a solo parent with my son with profound special needs and not have heat or electricity where I can cook for him. So thankfully my brother-in-law came and picked us up, and we actually ended up, you know, unexpectedly being in Nashville for the week. So we knew that we had heat and electricity. So it seems like even though our worlds are different, they're chaotic and crazy and, you know, all these different things. And then especially it seems like in the last year, there's been more and more added to that with COVID and with crazy ice storms that we were not expecting and just life in general. I told John Hallex this morning, said, you know, hey buddy, this is what I think we're going to do today. Because I never know. We don't know what's going to happen. And so, you know, you all shared a little bit about the different people in your family, your husbands, your kids, your special kids, your typical kids, then Lori, grandkids. So how in the world do you manage making time for the different members of your family? How do you, in that chaos of our world, have you found ways to let each person know that they're seen and valued?
Great question. Well, you don't get a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
if you're going to hit it for everybody. When you were saying that, I was thinking about Josie. That's my 18-year-old. And making lemonade out of lemons, that's kind of where we've been. Lemon one is Josie's had to have a lot of dental work. Mm-hmm. And it's been, it's been a lot of, well, 3 procedures at this point, which also means post-op appointments as well. So, but that has ended up being like special time for us in the car. As nuts as that sounds,
no,
it's just
yeah.
me, it's just her, and it's pretty much required that we have a sing-along all the way there and all the way back. And the music is on my phone, which means I'm not talking to anybody because she's got control of the phone and she's the DJ and we're singing. So that's just one example with her. I have realized, okay, that has ended up in this season, this school year of giving us time. And then we also have started, like on Saturday morning, she knows that we are going to load new music on her phone. And that sounds, I guess, kind of, I don't know, silly, but to the point where she has already, she will start at the beginning of the week texting me songs that she wants to put on her phone on Saturday morning.
How funny.
So it tells me that she understands that that is a, like,
it's her set of,
that's gonna be her time. Yes. Right. And I'm like, right. Oh, that is so cool. So it's kind of, it's a neat thing. So she, that's her special. That's one way with her. And sometimes I just have to rest in the fact that that's, I don't always feel like it's enough, you know, but I know that it's something, and she sees it as something.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the, you know, I stay up late with, to hang with my typical 15-year-old because Josie and Emily go to bed a little, you know, pretty much on routine. They're in bed by 8:30. So I stay up later just to hang with that one, you know. I'm trying to just think of examples of how we get all that in.
Well, and you and your husband tag team a lot too, meaning,
oh, yes,
like it's not just all on you.
No,
to keep everybody.
Well, you know, that's funny because I'm like, okay, yeah, wait a minute. Does it have to? Because a lot of times I get the, I have to do all
this.
You
have to do it all.
But right. No, he actually probably has a little easier time connecting with everybody because my personality tends to be the manager and I set it all up for everybody.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, I have created this moment for you and this child. Here, go enjoy.
Yeah, got you. You're the
point. You know, like, yeah. I'm going to take care of all of this so you can go do that with that one. Or, you know, hey, have you thought about asking this one to go with you to do that? And that's just how my brain works. So they are getting, at least from one parent or the other, some getting it.
Right.
That one on
some individual.
Yeah. And like I said, the trickiest, honestly, is he and I.
Because yeah.
We're so trying to make sure everybody's getting mm-hmm. some individual.
So Dawn, how do you manage the chaos? And, you know, how do you make sure that everybody's feeling seen?
Sure. And luckily for me, I don't have as many people to try to spread myself through. Now that right. Sydney's at college, you know, she'll call just about every day, call me at some point with some little something. Do you know what just happened or, you know, whatever. So that's a good time that, you know, that we just spend little snippets like that. And then otherwise I am pretty much with Austin 80% of the time, mm-hmm. perhaps maybe even 90% of the time. So I think the challenge with that for me is that because, and you said you were talking about how Steve connects easier with, and I think that's true for Sean too, because his time is more limited. So when I'm with Austin, I have to be more aware of we're actually spending good time together, because you get to that point where you're like, I do not want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
So you have to remember and be very, you know, aware of this is, you know, we need to spend time to, you know, this is our time together. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, when Sean comes home and he spends time with him, you know, it's, he's not been with him all day. So it's
right.
Right.
It's different. It's different yeah. that way. And I think I wanted to point out too, because I've heard Lori say this before, but she says how, you know, Steve gets the bottom of the pile. She feels like Steve falls to the bottom of the pile. The husband falls to the bottom of the pile.
Right.
But if you heard what she just said, she's thoughtful in that she creates time for he and his kids. So that's not, he's not falling. I mean, that's amazing. And I know you guys, you know, want to spend more time together, but that's amazing that you do all of those things so that he can have those very thoughtful memories with his kids. So that is not falling to the bottom of the pile by any means, Missy. Just wanted to.
Just a yes, point,
ma'am.
Yeah. Well, and Sean and I, of course, Austin goes to bed. Well, he starts about 8. We're in bed about 8:30. Sometimes he's up 10 times. Sometimes he goes right. So, and I don't have any other kids here anymore. So that's, you know, so we get to watch TV or whatever together. And we do try to take a trip once a year, which when they were younger was sometimes impossible, much more difficult. But this year we just had Sydney come home from college because all of her classes are online. So she came home and stayed with him, which worked out well. And they didn't even kill each other. So
that's a miracle in and of itself, right there.
And that house wasn't a total wreck. She did a good job. She kept it neat. Ah.
Amazing. So, way to go.
Growing up. Growing up.
Well, and I love, Dawn, what
I was paying her.
You were paying her. Hey, you know, paying gigs always help, too.
Go ahead.
But no, I love what you used to do when she was in school.
Oh, right.
You know, because that was her special time. So share what you used to do when she was at home.
Yeah,
and in school.
I think, what do we call it? Anti-autism day or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So once a semester, which would have been from August to December, and then after Christmas to the end of the year, you know, January, the first year, one day each time, she just wouldn't go to school. We would just skip school.
Yeah.
And then we would go and do whatever. And in November, that was usually Santa's workshop. We had Santa's, well, before COVID.
Right.
Santa's workshop.
Pre-COVID. There. Yeah.
Yeah. And we would always go to that every year. So we did that to specifically have that time because when they were younger, it was way difficult to
find
for the typical because you always had to cater to what the special was going to be in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for
reminding me of that. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I just remembered that. That was something that has always stood out to me in how you made sure that you had certain days set apart. And, you know, and then so Austin's in school, he's covered, he's taken care of, and then you can have have this special day. And, you know, it's funny, as you all were talking, I was thinking back to last week, you know, and we were at my mom's and I spent a whole lot more time with, you know, if I'm at home, I'm busy doing dishes or doing, you know, cleaning or doing different things around the house. And I spent a lot of time one-on-one just sitting next to him on the couch and he loved it, you know, and I think it's so, they just want to spend time with us. You know, they just want to be with us. And that was just a sweet reminder of that last week to go, no, just go, you don't have to do that dish right now. Go sit on the couch with him. Go, you know, do whatever. I mean, we do lots of things. We're together all the time, but it was even taking it a step further, you know, than just being in the same house together. So I think we have to find whatever's going to work. He just wanted to hang out with me, you know, and you find out with each person what they need. Now, something that we talked about, you were talking about was in the marriage piece of it, you know, Jeff and I were married 26 years. You guys, how long have you been married? Lori, you've been married? 23. Dawn?
This will be 27.
27. And so, you know, marriage is hard in the special needs life. And it's hard when you know, just all the different dynamics and all these people being pulled at you. But what would you say was some of the best advice that anybody gave you in your marriage that's really stuck with you and helped you on this journey as being a special needs couple? Is there anything that somebody has said to you that just like, you were like, this was an aha moment for you?
Aha. Well, one thing that has stuck out as a special needs family, was that you both can't go to the dark side at the same time. Like only one person can be in that kind of space at a time. I wonder
where did you hear that one? No, you know, that was something Jeff and I put in our marriage early on is we said we had it was called the dark side rule.
And
we couldn't both be on the dark side at the same time. If he was having a bad day, then I knew, okay, I have to stay on this side and help pull him out of the pit. And some days it was me, some days it was him. And there were some days we both wanted to be in the pit, but one of us had to go, nope.
Right.
We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. So.
Yeah. And I think that's a good place to be, just in that. It's my turn.
Yeah. I get to go to the pit. We used to say that. We would say, okay, today's my day on the dark side, you know, and it was just kind of became a joke, you know.
But right.
It really did. It's true. You can't both go there at the same time. Somebody,
life gets heavy. I mean, it's
absolutely
life gets heavy.
Well, so. Something Jeff and I used to share to young couples who were getting married. This is going to sound so silly, but honestly, it really works great. It's you know, when you're having those little spats, you're having those just simple things like, okay, where are we going to have dinner? Or like for us, it would be, we had a two-story house and we'd be upstairs like ready for bed and you'd be like, oh, we left the lights on downstairs. Well, who's going to go turn them off? Well, for us, we solved all minor decisions. I won't say major decisions, but minor decisions by playing rock, paper, scissors, the best 2 out of 3. And,
and so,
you know, we'd play 2 out of 3, best 2 out of 3 rock, paper, scissors. And then if you lost, you lost. And it was really just a fun, you know, life and marriage is hard and heavy when you can find those fun little things.
Yes.
Yes. To add a little life to it, it helps. So, okay. We've talked about how we kind of make time for the people in our life, how we make time for our spouse. Do you ever make time for you? I see Lori cringing right here.
Well, I'm like, yeah. Did we answer those? My brain's thinking, did we answer those questions for you? Did we really? And then you hit the hard one. That's the hard one.
What for you? I know. Like, do you do anything for you?
Yeah, I Amazon shop early in the morning. That is bad.
No, I hear you.
Bad.
Yeah, that Amazon app gets me in trouble a lot.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. But
that's your diversion.
Yeah. Well, it's not a good diversion. That I'm just being a little funny there. Okay, maybe there's a lot of truth.
But true. Yeah.
It's the little things.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, like when
I'm thinking, I'm sitting here thinking.
Yeah.
You think, and I'll say, I've always been a workout girl. I love to do workouts. And when they were younger, that was hard to do because I would still, you know, but I would still find time to do it. And I think I just, even though he's, you know, he has special needs that, I mean, when he got old enough to be able to understand it, I just said, this is my hour to do my workout. And I think it's like, because I would do it upstairs. And I think I would always sometimes hang a sign at the bottom of the stairs to say I'm working out. And don't even think it. And
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, if you're bleeding from your eyes,
then you can come see me.
Come upstairs and let me know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, don't. Now, sometimes even today, he'll come up there.
Yeah.
But most of the time, he'll come to the door and see I'm working out and he'll go away because he knows.
He knows that's your time. Yeah.
Not talking about it right now.
Yeah.
So, and that's just something I've always enjoyed doing. So,
yeah. And you found a way to make it work for you in your world. And
it doesn't always work. I mean, there were plenty of days that I didn't get one because he was, you know, whatever, but now that he's 18, it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's easier to say, go.
Yeah. Motivate me, Dawn Fry.
Yeah.
I know.
No.
So, Lori, do you do anything for you?
I am sure that I do. I'm just sure I do.
Well, I think one thing for all three of us is that we get together. We have a friend group. We're all part of this same little friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And in getting together, once a month. It doesn't always happen. But that's life-giving. I know for me, you know, to have that time. I know with COVID, that kind of threw a wrench into a lot of different things. But having that friend time is...
Yes.
Is life-giving to me.
Yes.
So, okay. So Lori, we've talked about how crazy and chaotic your life is. And, you know, I'm going to call on you because here's the thing. One thing, I've known you for a long time, but you are one of the most organized people. I know you're going to say, no, I'm not. I know she's showing me the behind the scenes here of her coat pile here, but, you really are. I mean, like, just you have different things. You have a very structured life. So, what are some things that you have put in play? So maybe structured is better than organized.
What systems?
Systems. You have some. So, for the moms out there who are pulling their hair out because they don't have systems, what are some of the things that you have put into place that have helped you manage your chaos?
Well, I think one thing you have to say off the top is not everybody's personality is a systems personality. Right. So you have to give a big old dose of grace to people who my systems are not, you know, like I have my oldest daughter is, her brain doesn't run in systems. And right. So there's been these conversations of, don't beat yourself up. You're probably never going to do it that way. And that's okay.
That's okay. Right.
You have to figure out what is going to work in your world, and your, you know, systems do help, but everybody's are going to look a little different because not all personalities just naturally roll that way. So I just want to, that's kind of a disclaimer. Like yeah. If you're listening and, you know, like the folks that watch the organizational shows, and there are some that it just completely shuts them down immediately and wrecks them. Whereas I get like all giddy inside
yeah.
watching them like, oh my goodness, that's the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
So systems, we are just very I'm very routine anyway. And my girls respond to that, like Josie and Emily. Like Josie is almost too rigid. And sometimes I wonder if I've created children that aren't quite flexible, or is it really just, you know, it's just got to be that way because like
you have to keep all the wheels on the train.
Yes, especially yeah. more so with Josie than Emily. We don't transition well. Like it needs to be this, and this are going to happen before I go to bed. It doesn't matter if bedtime routine starts at 7 or at 9, it's still got to happen that way, you know. Anyway, so we're very routine. I'm trying to think system wise.
Well, I know you love your colored markers.
I do love colored
markers. I do know that. Like you love your colored
markers. But I don't know that they lend themselves well. Maybe that's just how I have a moment for myself, you know, like yeah. I use colored markers and it makes me happy inside.
That's your self-care.
That's my self-care or my colored markers. Well, here's the system. We do laundry and the girls know, I say the girls, all the kids know, we fold on the same days every week. And that helps in managing the chaos. And it helps me, like, laundry has to get done before Wednesday after school because they know when they come in that they have to fold their piles. Like they know it. Josie, Emily, all of them. Typical, special. And then that also keeps me accountable to getting it done. I don't know if that's what you're asking or not.
Yeah, no.
And then we also fold on Sunday, and it's wrapped into a dance party. So on Sunday when we fold, there's going to be really fun music. Everybody knows it. That's just how we do it, and they look forward to it. So in some sick way, that's kind of some special time with them, even though we're doing laundry.
Right. And they know
it. How tricky is that? But yes, they know it. So and then that helps because I don't have to fold everybody's clothes. They're right. doing it and they're putting it away. And when we initially put that into place, there was some training involved. So a laundry system, that's one of my systems.
You have a meal system too. Like I can, like, you know, you
weird. Do
your meal routine's pretty, like, you know, okay,
right, we kind of run ourselves like a school cafeteria. We know what we're having which day of the week. Sometimes sort of have a lot of picky eaters, and we have a Josie has to be gluten-free because she has celiac, so there's a lot of different thoughts that go into meal planning. I'm trying to think system-wise. There are certain days of the week.
Be part of this conversation because I don't even know what I'm cooking for dinner tonight.
That's me too. It's like, well, I have no clue. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's like I'll go home.
I can't wait that long. There's too many things happening. Too many people that have to get where they have to.
People to feed. I mean, if I have two people,
or just
to figure it out, it's just that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we kind of have to know, and some of that may just be, that may be my own self-care. You were talking earlier, how do I do self-care?
Yeah,
some of
true.
My self-care is that we are routine. Otherwise, I would lose my mind. It would just not be
that's true, Lori.
Good. So we kind of set out the menu, and I know, and then we get the, you know, I can't wait until everybody's hangry, including myself.
Yeah.
So yes, I do a meal schedule for the week. And
well, you tell us what you're cooking and Dawn and I may show up, you know.
That's right.
Well, tonight it is chicken cakes. think salmon patties, but if you use chicken and and make a little homemade spicy sauce for it and fries out of a bag. Boom. Cooking fries. And the kids think that's really super exciting for whatever reason. I don't know. So
what happens when things don't go as planned? Like,
People cry. Mom is one of them. No, I'm kidding. things, I guess, often don't go as planned, but in my seasoned age and wisdom of years of experience, I hope you're picking up on the sarcastic tone in my voice on the podcast. I do a little better at, you know, obviously, trying to shift it and as quickly as possible, because I have other people who don't manage the change as well. Does that make sense? So when things don't go as planned, I just try to be encouraging and keep everyone, you know.
You set the tone.
Set the tone. I have to remember I'm the thermostat.
Yeah.
I don't always do so good, you know, especially when we're hangry. And in my mind, I'm visualizing afternoons. It's that after school time, you know, 3 to feeding them, that can get a little hairy. Well, that's where I have the routine. So there's that baseline routine, so that when weirdy stuff happens, you know, like when this sister decides that she's not going to school and she's pretty passionate about it for the first 30 minutes she's awake and she's throwing the whole thing off, you know, but just trying to manage that emotion while everything else is still getting done. That's where I go back to, you know, we kind of, I'm not.
Well, it was funny. We were having this conversation in the office today about this podcast. And I said, I want to talk about like asking for help, because, you know, when we've got the chaos, sometimes bringing help in helps manage the chaos. Sometimes it adds more chaos to it. So we were talking about it, and one of my team members said, well, out of the three of you, they said, I wrote this down, said, Becky, you're probably the one who's most likely to ask for help. Which, I've had to learn. Okay, I need this help. I need help with this, and you know, I can ask. They said, Lori, you'll ask, but you'll apologize for having to ask for help. And then Dawn's like, nope, I can do it myself. So, do we have you pegged?
Yes, it would pain me to have to ask for help. Which isn't good. I mean, that's not.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's so hard to ask for help?
Probably I have this warped sense of I should be able to do all of this myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to bother anyone else with my crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's, Which I'm not saying is right.
Dawn,
but then sometimes it's almost too hard to tell someone else what I need them to do.
I can appreciate that too.
Mine
would be, and you're exactly right, I wouldn't ask, because mine would be everybody else is as busy or more busy than me. They don't need to be hearing from me. So that I wouldn't ask. I ask Sean, but I only ask Sean as a last resort, because I mean, he's at work and he's doing that thing, but if it came down to it and I needed, you know, somebody to pick Austin up from school, then I would ask. Well, actually, I wouldn't ask. This is what I would do. I would go to his calendar is on my phone too. So I would go to his calendar. I would say, okay, yes, you've got this appointment and this appointment. And I would look and see what the appointment is. And then, you know, depending upon what it is, I would then call Andy and say, can you move this person to here and this person to here? And then I would just put it on his calendar to pick up Austin at school.
That's exactly
what I would do.
Yeah. That's so
funny. And then I would tell him, you're getting Austin at school.
So for me, something that is so important for me is that it's for my home to be a haven for me. You know, like my life is so chaotic. I want my home to be like my nest, you know, my place where I can go and just kind of take a deep breath. And so like for me, when my husband passed away, one of the first things I did, somebody gave me this advice and they said that they, within a short amount of time, like redecorated their house, painted, did a few things to make their house just feel different. And I did the same thing. And I've got to tell you, for me, that was so life-giving. Another thing I do is that first thing in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, my blinds are open. I want that sunlight coming in. That is life-giving to me. So what are some things you do in your home to help your home feel like it's your sanctuary, it is your nest, it is your place to kind of help manage the chaos that's around you?
I don't know if it counts, but as soon as I come home, I put my pajamas on.
I think that's great. No, I think that's great.
That's the first thing I would do. If I didn't have to go back out to get Austin at school, I'd have them on right now.
There you go.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And we're done. I don't know. I just want to be cozy.
I just think it's important for us to have those. That's a simple thing that you can do to bring, to kind of like take that stress level and just bring it down and manage that chaos. So Lori, yeah. What about you?
It's funny you mentioned that about opening the shades. And then earlier you were talking about our routine, our schedule, but I do the same thing every morning when I come from my room to get Emily's the first one I get up. But there's windows I open, you know, like on the way to, or on the way back to the kitchen. It's what we do. The windows do, they have to be open. It sounds silly, but we always make our bed. And then through the day, like after lunch or like when I put the baby down for nap, then there's the pickup, like, we're gonna pick up the, you know, a 5 minute or even 2 or 3 minute pick up the floor, pick up the house. Yeah. And then once the kids get home, before Steve gets home and before I'm starting supper, there's another pickup, you know, for me, that just helps it.
Just keep the chaos down.
Well, then it's not so much.
Right.
And just those little moments of, and that's from a person that is at home all day.
Yeah.
And I do have these different kids, you know, the kids come in from school, they have to unpack their lunch boxes, they have to hang up their backpacks, everything has to go, you know,
and that's part of your systems. That goes back to your system,
part of my system, and it helps me. And then a lot of times, if I get my dining room table cleaned off, and it's just, that is something that helps my you know, the bar can be completely piled up, but if the dining, you know, if the table is cleared off and ready for the meal,
for dinner,
then,
right.
Oh no, I just feel better about life.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I'm crazy.
No, I hear you.
I love hearing because a lot of parents don't do everything for their specials, you know, because we kind of get in that habit, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And sometimes it's just easier.
And it is easier sometimes, but I love how you're talking about how, you know what, you have expectations of them and they have chores to do too. And what jobs they can do, they should do, because Austin can now do laundry. Now, sometimes I'll have to remind him and kind of watch to make sure what he's throwing in there, but he'll say, Mom, my laundry basket's full. I don't want to tell you. You know where the washing machine is. So, you know, having it, but responsibility for them is so important.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then it helps.
It helps you manage.
Yeah. And sometimes Becky was talking about painting or, you know, that sort of thing. Sometimes if I just need a change of scenery in a certain room, I can take things from that room and, you know, move them to a different room and put new things in the living room. Yeah. And then it feels like a whole new
place. Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
I do that often because I just get sick of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have something.
And you, Lori, you just kind of redid some things in your house to freshen things up and paint.
That was a big dose of self-care. Mm-hmm. Just do a little painting and rug changing. And that's been nice.
Yeah. Well, ladies, friends, thank you all for being a part of our podcast this month and sharing your tips on managing the chaos and some of the things that you do. And, you know, for our listeners out there, we want to hear what you do. Here are just some of the things that we do here in our life, but we want to hear from you and what you do. We want to know what your tricks are for managing the chaos. So we want you to go over to our Instagram story and look for the post about ways that you can share how you manage your chaos, because we want to learn from you. I mean, we have the things that work in our world, but you know, it's always great to learn from other people. So be sure to go over to our Instagram story and you can find out more there and share how you manage your chaos. Cause we might, you know, girls, we may learn something new from some of our friends on Instagram. So
I'm sure.
Let's check it out. Well, thank you all so much. And, go manage your chaos. Okay. You got kids to go pick up and doctor's appointments to go to and all those fun things. So until next month, thank you, friends.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.